The meeting will come to order. We are now holding a meeting of the Port of Astoria. May we have the roll call, please?
Commissioner McLean?
Present.
Commissioner Spence?
Present.
Commissioner Campbell?
Here.
Commissioner Stevens?
Here.
And Commissioner Roan?
Here. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commissioner reports. Commissioner Campbell?
On the second Monday of this month, I attended the Airport Advisory Committee meeting, and there was various discussions on how to improve the airport and so on and so forth. And we observed the airport and the construction's going on out there, and it's, I guess Gary's going to report on that, so I won't take that away from it, but they're doing very well.
Thank you. Commissioner Stevens?
Good evening. I visited England Marine to discuss port issues, the Finance Committee. Poked around, see if there was anybody I could add to the Finance Committee or Budget Committee. Additionally, I picked up the list of fishermen associations and groups, which I intend to contact and try to fill in with our liaison to our local fishermen and fishing groups. I attended the next airport advisory meeting that Commissioner Campbell wasn't able to get to. We discussed outreach to obtain financial support. And I did attend the Marina Advisory meeting. We did discuss the upcoming dredging, sea lions, and so forth. That's all I have to report.
Thank you. Commissioner McLean?
On October 2nd, I attended the forestry tour that was presented by OSU out at the sawmill. Very interesting tour of their processes. Went to the state port meeting on the 4th and 5th over in Boardman. On the 7th, I went to Bonamici's open house. On the 7th, we also had the city council meeting where several of us were there. On the 23rd, there was a Goonies 2020 planning that Matt goes to when I was there for another organization, but there was some port overlay stuff there. And on the 24th, there was a joint city, county, and port entrepreneur zone meeting that myself and I think was Commissioner Spence was
yes.
That. So it's been an active month.
Thank you. Commissioner Spence?
Yes, I attended that same meeting last Thursday. It had to do, it was a joint meeting with the City of Astoria, the County Commission, the Port of Astoria, and the City of Warrington, having to do with Enterprise Zone. This has been triggered, the request for an Enterprise Zone was triggered by Fort George Brewery as a result of them purchasing the Astoria warehouse property. They are requesting 7 to 15 years relief from property tax, which is permitted under the Enterprise Zone. One of the requirements is that all taxing bodies, of which we are one, have to agree to their request. We don't lose any money, but the property taxes are frozen at the current level, and all the increases then are waived for their benefit so that they can reinvest the savings into their property. They have, according to the paper, they have purchased that property for $8 million, and then they're going to
invest additional $1 million for a canning operation, and they are required under the conditions of Enterprise Zone to create a certain number of jobs, and that's why it the Enterprise Zone is an incentive for economic development and job creation. So this was a workshop meeting. There will be future meetings of at which time the official bodies will all have to approve the increase. But it's a great use of the cannery property, and certainly a good sustainable hometown business like Fort George taking it over is a plus for the economic development of this whole area. That's all I have.
As a quick follow-up to that, I was contacted by Kevin Leahy from Cedar, who's organizing a joint meeting among the four managers of the members of the Clatsop of Enterprise Zone group, and so that's tentatively scheduled for the week of November 18th. He's trying to work on some scheduling conflicts, but the four of us, Don Boone, Brett Estes, Linda Ingebretson, and myself will be meeting here in the next couple weeks.
Very good.
Yeah.
The
final numbers of what the port would be losing financial-wise was equivalent to my home property tax times 7. You know, I just got my property tax. It's $16, $17. And if we spread that out, if we had 7 more households out there paying the same amount, that's what we're losing per year.
Yeah, I had an opportunity to tour the facility, and the owners of the facility are located in Finland and Japan, and weren't willing to negotiate in any way on the price of the facility had the Fort George not been willing to step up and purchase that facility, and no one else did. They would be perfectly happy to see the whole thing rot. It wouldn't bother them one bit, and so it is something to consider that the Fort George and their enterprises making a considerable taking a huge risk and trying to improve something, and if should they have not purchased it, then no one would get any more tax revenue anyway. So although we may have had some disagreements with the city of Astoria, I did have a chance to visit with the mayor, Bruce Jones, had dinner with him, and felt like that he was exceedingly gracious, and I think we can work with the city of Astoria moving forward. And I was hoping to thank Tom Brownson, who was supportive of the port. Usually he's here at these meetings, and I really appreciate him being willing to advocate for the port as much as he has. So going forward, I think anything besides a hotel, I think we could move forward on any port project. Anyway, I think we have a future with them. And as far as changes or additions to the agenda, with the commission's approval, I would like to have a move item 9C to follow public comment at 6, and that would be George Dunkel from Special Districts. We've concluded we do not need an executive session following the meeting, so since we have a lengthy meeting, we felt we could give him an opportunity to work with our commission at the outset of the meeting, and then we would carry on with the rest of the meeting. Does that sound agreeable?
Yes.
Yes.
Concur.
Any other additions? Corrections?
Negative.
Motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So move.
Or as presented?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 With that, it's a privilege to introduce from Special Districts, George Dunkel.
Would you like me to step up there?
Yes, please.
Okay.
And so.
Good afternoon. I heard you say evening. I thought, man, it's got to be afternoon. Please. I think Commissioner Stevens, you're the only commissioner I haven't met in the past. My name is George Dunkline with Special District Association of Oregon. I run their consulting services program. One of the services we provide boards of special districts, which the port is, under our definition, is considered one of our special districts, is we help with the evaluation of the CEO. We have a couple different ways to do that. One of the ones we're proposing today with Will being in an interim position and the commission trying to decide over the course, maybe the next few weeks, what direction they want to go as far as in a recruitment for that position, whether Will has sufficiently demonstrated his skills and what the commission may want to do down the road. One of the ways to do that is to take a look at his performance and the performance of the port since he's been in the position from a 360 degree approach. And what we mean by that is that the commissioners would get a questionnaire from us. We would ask the commissioners as well as the executive director who might be some other folks that interact with his position and with the port from around the community, those stakeholders you might say, as well as the direct reports that report directly to the executive director. We would put some questions together with some input from, again, from the commission and from Will, and ship those out electronically to those people that have been identified. This would be done confidentially. They would respond back to an email address that would be kept and answered by our office in Tigard. And we would then compile those things that would protect the people that submitted them, as well as any inappropriate things that might have been brought out. And we would then compile that into one report for the commission to see, which would also include statements from the commissioners. We've had great success with these. We've used these with fire districts, with park and rec districts, as well as one other port. And we think it'd be a good tool for you to get a feel, not only from, you know, how the five of you feel about how the port's done in the last 6 months, but how people that work directly with Will see his performance. So we're proposing that. Again, it'd be confidential. We'd be the gatekeepers. Our goal would be to have that to present to you in executive session along with Will on December 3rd. To get the cooperation in getting the email addresses and getting those people to submit those questionnaires back to us. So that's our proposal. I don't know. I'm here for questions.
I'm very excited about this. I think this is a great way for the port to move forward and help reestablish our relationship with, I think most importantly, the state demonstrating having a third party kind of take the temperature and assess our health and well-being as a management structure, specifically the executive director, but also creating an area, a safe forum where we can gain valuable information. And do the other commissioners have questions or comments?
Yes.
Commissioner Spence?
Mr. Chairman, and George, this commission back in, I believe it was May, maybe the month before that, when the previous director, Jim Knight, was still here, this commission had approved moving forward with getting a 360, really, on Jim Knight at that time. And it was a $3,000 contract negotiated, and I don't know if that contract was ever executed, whether it's there, whether we already have a contract with special districts from the port for $3,000 to do the 360 or not.
Yeah, I'm not familiar. Okay. I mean, I do remember when that went down, and of course, one thing to remember about your commission and your relationship with us is we're not a vendor. We're an extension of you. So even though we have to cover our cost, when we develop those types of agreements, they're a not to exceed figure, and they really just cover our cost.
Right, not to exceed.
Okay.
Right.
So if we didn't do the work, we just basically said it went away, which we did not in that situation do that. This particular thing we're proposing here, this really falls under some discussions we had indirectly with you about doing your recruitment. But again, with the cost of us doing this, now that we do them electronically, it's pretty minimal. wouldn't even come close to that $3,000 figure. We were looking at probably 15 to 18, maybe 20 of these emails that would go out. We'd hope that they'd all be returned. It'd all be done that way so that you don't even have postage cost. Really the only cost is my time coming down here, and you know, I drive from beautiful downtown Scappoose, so here I am.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
No, I don't.
Yes.
Commissioner Stevens.
Well, Mr. Junko, I did meet you at SDA with AO training.
Well, I recognized you, but I was just asked to officially meet you, so.
Yes, sir, okay. Well, it's good to see you here. Thank you for your presentation. I'm a little concerned that I'm the only one that feels a sense of urgency to get this over and done with. We have Will Isom wearing two hats. And it is at a time when we're down a couple of FTEs on staff. This is also a time that we're about to enter the holiday season. And we all know that in spite of hard work, the workload suffers during the holidays. I think it's difficult for an individual to be the director of finance and the executive director at the same time. Additionally, it's difficult for him to excel, as I think he could rise well above peers in these public bodies, because we have the budget season also approaching for the next fiscal year. I'd like to just ask the question on whether we really need a complete review of Will Isom before we discuss what contract he would accept and we would offer. If we get the contract agreed upon, then we might want to discuss a review of the individual and move the timing forward a little bit. Seems like as at this meeting today, I'm the only one that feels that way. But if there's anybody that wants to discuss that with me or hear from Will, I think we should entertain that.
I have been talking with George, with other state, stakeholders, and with Will, and moving as expeditiously as we can, but also being as responsible as we can, avoiding the pitfalls of shooting from the hip and legitimizing our management in a responsible manner. And I believe we're doing the most we can as fast as we can in the most responsible manner of doing it. And I'm confident that we're on the right track. And if everything bodes well, this conversation will be over in a month, December 3rd.
It'll take time, if we approve Will Isom, for a second individual to come online and take over the finance, assuming that we get a candidate that we can approve and to move forward after the holidays into a budget season, which would still be a hindrance on Will to bring a new person along. That's what I feel about a sense of urgency.
I think we're moving as fast as we can in the most responsible manner, and I think we're on the right track. I'm confident we are. I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of people to make sure that we're doing the appropriate thing, and I feel good about the direction that we're moving in. Commissioner McLean.
On stakeholder input, you sort of had a window of 18 to 25 or something like that. I'm concerned that that's a narrow window.
That number could definitely be increased or decreased, depending on the input from the commissioners and from Will and others. we look at it from the standpoint that you want to get a cross-section. What you don't generally do not want is you don't want any one segment to, might say, load the ballot. So you hear the same thing six times and it's really one thing. So what we try to do is we try to work with folks to pull out representatives that internally, the direct reports definitely would get a questionnaire. The five of you would definitely get a questionnaire. Externally, the stakeholders, we want to make sure that we get a good cross-section of who are the people that interact, who are the groups, and that we get representatives of that, not, you know, not too many of that, any one of them. Does that make sense, what I'm trying to say? So maybe 15 to 20 sounds low. Maybe it should be 25 to 30. I'm just saying is that we haven't really decided that yet. Historically, with other groups, that's what the numbers have been.
I'm just concerned about the constituents down in Westport and Arch Cape and
this isn't about voters.
Yes.
They're still stakeholders.
There are appropriate stakeholders that will be contacted, and we'll be developing that list moving forward from today.
Okay.
So, do you need any action from the commission, or?
Well, I would say that you need to bless this. I mean,
okay.
Because this is really, you know, you're asking us to help you with your evaluation, and we're proposing this be done in a 360 format.
And I had a statement that I prepared and read to the commission, I think 3 or 4 months ago. I wish I would have resent it to everyone, where I outlined and asked for consensus from the commission to do exactly what we're doing today. At that point, the feeling that I'd gotten from knowledgeable people is that we needed a little more time on the clock before we could have a meaningful evaluation and move forward. This process is an alternative to what we were going to go down, where we would spend an awful lot of money to have a wide open search. So to me, this is honoring Commissioner Stevens' concerns in the most responsible way we can. So, Commissioner Spence.
I was so moved that we engage the services of special districts to conduct a 360 evaluation of the executive director.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any additional discussion?
I would be concerned getting into the holiday season, like Steve mentioned. Can we get this done in a more expedient way?
December 3rd.
December 3rd? That's 2 weeks.
Well, it's actually 3 or 4 weeks, but what is it? Today's the 5th, isn't it? So
oh,
it's basically
right.
4 weeks.
Okay.
But there is a holiday in there, Thanksgiving's in there. But, you know, Mr. Campbell, just so that we're ready to go on this, we just have to get some questions ironed out, and we need the input from you, and I'm going to give you my business card. We need names and email addresses, and then we'll work with Will and Dirk if that's on screening that and coming up with the number. So the quicker we get the information, we're ready to go out with it. And compiling it, you know, we have a dedicated person that does this kind of work, and she will put it together in an expedient manner. So you will definitely get it in your packet for your December 3rd meeting.
Then how much longer after that before we can?
No, we're planning on you taking action on December 3rd.
Okay.
Yeah. The executive session, if I may, Dirk.
Yes, please.
The executive session that we tentatively put on for your agenda today will appear on the December 3rd agenda.
Okay.
And the staff will help
Commissioner
provide
Stevens?
All the information.
Commissioner Stevens?
Yeah, thank you.
Just one more question then. Will we be able to work on smoothing out the contract between now and December 3rd? Do we have to put that on hold, or can we not get an iteration taking place between the candidate and the commission?
It's a little different subject matter, but I think if it's okay with Chair.
Yes, go ahead, please.
And Will, we are working on a tentative type of proposal. That in the event that the commission feels strongly one way or the other, that we can move forward in an expedient manner.
I'm not sure you said yes or no.
Yes.
That's correct. we're working on it, but those things take turns left and right. So I'm comfortable that we're working in a positive manner, and I would yield to Dirk and Will to help me with that. But I'm comfortable that when we get here December 3rd, that you'll have multiple things to look at along that line.
There have been conversations. I think they've been productive, and that's why I'm optimistic.
Okay, so we can continue those conversations.
Yes.
Correct.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Mr. Stevens. Definitely can continue those conversations.
Thank you.
With that, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor of approving the 360 evaluation, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
Okay. 4 in favor, 1 opposed. Motion passes.
Right.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate
what
it.
What I'd like to do is I'm going to give each commissioner my card with my email address on it for input.
I might have
input.
It already.
Thank you.
Okay.
While you're here, George, I've been, you have volunteered since we had.
I'm looking. I think I have it, but I can take another one.
Since we had a new commissioner about a training that it's really, it's
we're not
going to
talk about that.
Okay.
Right now. Thank you. Thank you very much,
well,
George.
We need to.
Thank you, sir.
Really? Mr. Chairman, can I ask one quick question to George about the Seaside meeting?
We're not going to discuss the Seaside okay. meeting with George right now.
No, the SDO meeting. They're having a conference.
Oh, it's February?
That's what I need to know. Thanks.
So we'll have a lot for the commission at our next meeting, and you have George's business card and cell phone number, so it's very accessible to the commission and will help our organization move forward. And we're grateful for the work that Special Districts is doing on our behalf. I'd like to get back to public comment for items on the agenda. This is an opportunity to speak for the commission for 3 minutes regarding any item on the agenda. Those wishing to speak must fill out a public comment form. I don't think I have any. Are there any? Nope. Okay. So moving on, we have the consent calendar. We have, it's going to be approved in a single motion. We have meeting minutes from September 17th and event calendar outlining different community meetings for December and financials of September 2019.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to pull 7C. Financials, I have some questions.
Okay, so we'll move that to, how about we move that to first item on action items, item A, so we can still, so we'll call it double A.
Then we're able to move, I move the approval of the consent calendar 7A and B.
Okay, so the motion for the consent calendar is items A and B. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay. First action item will be double A, which will be the financials. Commissioner Spence has a question on the financials.
Yes. Well, on financials, on the profit and loss statement, the very first line, dockage and vessel service, the revenue that came in this quarter was roughly 55% of the anticipated amount. Is the deficiency due to lack of log ships or some other reason why the revenues didn't come in during this quarter as anticipated?
For the most part, yes. So the biggest piece of that obviously is the log export market, and is significantly different than both in prior years and a part of budget. The other piece of that, so we seasonalize our budget. So, you know, if an item has a $100 annual budget, we seasonalize based on the last 3 years so that we know which months typically those expenses hit rather than just straight lining it. And one of the big items in prior years, we tended to have more of our cruise ship business come in the fall. This year was quite a bit lighter. We have more coming in this spring. And so with that seasonalized budget, you're seeing from a budget perspective okay. that we should have had more revenue coming in on the front end, and it's actually going to hit later in the year. But the log exports are a big piece of that, yes.
Thank you. And one other question on the next page, capital projects, very first line again. The GIS project, phase three, although it's budgeted for $40,000, we've only expended $5,000. What's the status and timeline for completing the GIS system?
So I might defer to Matt a little bit on this one. I think that the original budget was something, was a bit of a spitball, and talking to Mark recently, I don't know that we're going to hit that number, but Matt, you may be able to speak a little more to where we're at with that. Yep.
Commissioners, as far as the GIS goes, Mark is still working on phases three and four, which is like the final implementation. As far as the total amount to be expended this year, right now he's been really going through a lot of information that we have within our employees' heads. So it's really, phase three is putting together all the pieces between phase two and phase four, which is, phase two is taking all the information we have as far as drawings, blueprints, and all those things. And then phase three is going through and getting information from everybody and anybody that we can to determine where those gaps are. So he's in the middle of that now. There's been a little pause in his work as he's doing a lot of work on the GIS front for the entire county. And so I'm going to be having a meeting with Mark here in the next couple weeks to determine what we're going to be doing as far as next steps on not only phase three, but getting the GIS system working in a way that we can have every component in there, not only just our utilities and information like that, but leases, documents, deeds, all of those things. So that's really what phase three and phase four.
Is Mark a private contractor, or is he part of iFocus, which does all of our data service?
He is a private contractor, and he runs Cartomation.
Okay.
So,
and Mark was on site here about 4 months ago. We had an all-staff meeting, and he gave a really good presentation to the entire staff about where we are with the GIS. And GIS is actually live now. You can sure. You can get into the system. You can navigate the system. So it is up and working. And so, as Matt said, we're at the point now where it's working on those final details and bringing the staff up to speed on how the system works.
Very good. Thank you. I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman. I move that we approve the financials as presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the financials of September 2019. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Financials are approved. With that, we'll move on to action items, regular action items. We have a Watershed Wellness commercial lease. Matt?
Sir. Commissioners, as you know, over the last few months, we've been in the middle of remodeling the 42 Gateway building. The hope behind this was to be able to move staff back over to the original building, get everybody centralized again where we have not just administrative staff here and then maintenance and security over at the 42 Gateway building, but to bring everybody together. The one real tricky component of that was trying to find somebody to lease our office space. As you know, our offices aren't set up in a very user-friendly way sometimes. So what we're really looking for is somebody that might have some type of medical business, because the way that the office is set up, it's really conducive to that type of business. When Will and I had talked about this, we started thinking about, okay, we want to try to find somebody to rent the property so that we can have them in place and we're moving over and start gaining some revenue. So we're lucky enough to find Watershed Wellness. Watershed Wellness is a business that had a couple of different locations, one in Portland, another one here down in the Area Properties building down at the corner. They're going to maintain that property. They're closing down their Portland property to move into the spaces above. So what we did is we wanted to make sure that we had enough room for them to expand, because their business is growing in Astoria. So what we did is we crafted the lease such that gave them a full rate on 308, which was the biggest component of the lease, and then for suites 307 and 306, which is basically my old office and the storage that we had just remodeled, gave them basically a deferred rate for, or a reduced rate for first year, second year, and then go to a full year on year three. We're also going to end up taking the break room. So the good thing about this, one of the really good things about this is they're looking for a long-term lease. They want a five-year lease. And so we just wanted to give them the opportunity to get in the space and grow. So I think the timing couldn't be better. We're going to be moving December 1st. They're going to be moving in to our spot December 1st. Mm-hmm. So we'll be moving out basically the last week of November, and they will be moving in first week of December. So then at that point, we're going to start seeing some pretty good gains in the next few years. So what I have before you is the lease that we're looking to approve of Watershed Wellness, and I wanted to bring it to you and open it up to questions.
Thank you.
I noticed the conference room is not included. I have to presume the conference room is available to all tenants on the third floor. Is that correct?
It can be, correct. The hope is to lease that out. I don't think it's going to be difficult to lease that out once we vacate the space, because it's kind of self-contained. You've got a sink, you've got a bathroom in there, so I think that somebody, an attorney, would really like that space.
Oh, okay.
So the hope is to lease out suite 304 and basically get the entire top floor.
So we control it. You or controls it whether or not we want to rent it or able to rent it.
Well, you're talking 304?
The conference room.
Yeah. I mean, if we rent it out, obviously it would become somebody else's space.
Okay.
But yeah.
Maybe we can have further discussion. Let's start with a motion in a second. Can I get a motion for approval of this commercial lease agreement?
So moved.
A second. Okay, are there any more discussion or questions?
Another point I'd like to add on this is that this business pairs potentially nicely with the cruise ship industry and having ships here on Pier 1. We've talked to Eric and Amanda about, you know, potentially down the road working with cruise lines and offering some of the services they provide. They do everything from massage to acupuncture to facials, and so that could be an added benefit to the port is having that service down here on Pier 1.
I think it's an excellent move. It's exciting to see the port generating revenue with the assets we have, and honestly, moving the port offices back to where they were, just driving in there when kind of, as we all have, monitoring the construction, it's really easy to get the access driving up. It's a lot more convenient, I think, for port tenants and the general public to access. So I think it's a job well done by port staff. I really appreciate that.
I couldn't agree with you more. Along that lines, I think while we're discussing, I think we should decide what we're going to do with the meeting room, too. We still have our meeting room over there, and I would suggest that we move back over there for the public meetings. It's a lot more accessible.
I agree. There is a meeting room that's, 99% of the time, will be more than sufficient for our needs, and I'm hoping we can set up the Browns Meat Embassy in this room. So
this one here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got some angel grants for that. Angel investors.
Just to say well done to Will and Matt getting this done.
Okay. Seeing no more discussion, we'll move to a vote for an approval of the commercial lease agreement between the Port of Astoria and the Watershed Community.
And authorize the president to sign the contract.
And authorize the president to sign or the executive director to sign? Who should sign it? I think the motion will be for the executive director to sign. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you. Our next item is the West Marina Basin dredging update and authorization to enter into a contract negotiations with Bergerson Construction. Matt.
Sir. Again, as you know, we put out an RFP several months ago seeking some proposals to dredge 75,000 cubic yards out of our West Mooring Basin with the conditions that are set forth in our permit. This is basically flow line dredging. So we ended up having four unique bidders, Bergerson Construction, Clean Harbors, City Pine Land, and Ross Island. The way we crafted the RFP was we wanted to find out really what it was going to cost the port
if we did the dredging all at once, if we did it over the course of 2 years, or if we did it over the course of three. One of the reasons we did that is because, obviously, if we don't have the money to dredge all at once, it's going to be nice to spread that cost over several years. So with that, Bergeson Construction came in significantly lower than any of the three other dredgers. If you're looking just, for example, on the three-year bid, Bergeson Construction came in at $1.238 million, whereas Ross Island came in at $3.125 million. On the two-year bid, Bergeson came in at $1.129 million, St. Harbor's came in at $1.893 million, and Ross Island came in at $3.4 million. The 1 year, we had Bergeson at $1.177 million, Pacific Pile at $1.974 million, and Ross Island at $4.5 million. So you can see there's quite a large disparity in the costs. So what we're looking at doing is talking with Bergeson Construction and negotiating a contract in such a way that would probably be a three-year contract, not to begin this year, but to begin next year and then continue the two following years, to remove either 75,000 cubic yards that is presented within the RFP or what is remaining on our dredging permit, which is somewhere around 97,000 cubic yards, depending on what our financial abilities are. So that I wanted to turn that over to the commission and open it up, but what I'm looking for is just the authorization to begin negotiations with Bergeson Construction to start working out a multi-year contract for dredging to begin next year.
Can we start with a motion in a second and then go into discussion just for the sake of Robert's rules? I need a motion.
What would be the motion to approve the three-year bid?
No, to enter it, to allow Matt to enter into negotiations with Bergeson Construction.
Yeah, this is not a contract. This is just the start of negotiations.
Oh, yes. So move.
Second. Okay. Now we'll move into discussion.
The you mentioned holding off to next year. The window for dredging is already underway, as I understand it. We can only dredge November 1st through February.
Correct.
And so here we are into November. So even if we gave awarded the contract right away, he can only do a few months, fractionally. But I know there are concerns about at low tide the boats bottoming out, sitting on the bottom, and I hate to see that go one more year. But I guess we don't have much of a choice.
We don't really have much of a choice for a couple of reasons. One is that we have $150,000 in this year's budget to do dredging. Doesn't get much done. The other is that Bergeson and all of these other contractors, they're booked. So there was no way they're going to be able to dredge within this window.
Right. Tis the season, and of course they're under contract.
Correct. Yeah. So
I think it's actually fortunate it allows the port to, you know, a business trick is timing is everything. And so in this particular instance, it works for the benefit of our financial fitness to have it delayed, and so it's an asset, and also provides Bergeson. Hopefully we can work with them. You know, they have business on the books, so then it works for their advantage, works to their advantage, and it works to our advantage. So I think there's really no downside to it.
The hope is to come up with a couple of different options to present to the commission, just with the staff recommendation. But my first blush on this is that we'll be looking at a three-year contract.
Something that parallels this, but we're going to have to fix a problem before this silting thing slows down. It's never going to quit, but it can slow it down. But when they designed this new breakwater, they left the whole bottom open below 11.5 feet. There's nothing down there. The way the current ebbs and floods here, the ebb tide comes down, it goes around Pier 3 and comes back, and it brings the silt right back in with it. And this whole breakwater is open at minus 11.5. And somewhere along the line, we have to keep that in mind, this dredging and the cost, you know, what's the bottom line gonna be? You can't continually dredge that every year. It's just not cost effective. So, but we have to put it back in some kind of condition. now until we get enough funds to go along and repair that breakwater to the point where it doesn't leak the mud through, and that's what's happening.
I don't know as much about dredging as I would like to, but it's doing some of my own inquiring. It's been brought to my attention that semi-recently the channel has been made deeper and wider, which will help reduce that effect, and that this hasn't been dredged in like 15 years, since the 90s. So
that's the turning basin.
15 years. So ideally, hopefully it's less of an effect, and if we do this, then maybe it won't be a problem for 15 years, is my hope. And then at that point, maybe we'll be on more of a maintenance schedule, and then it won't be as dramatic as an expenditure. So that's
what Commissioner Rohn is addressing, is the turning basin, because the Corps typically contracts out the dredging here right at the turning basin right in front of the port. So over the last 2 years, they've dredged that, or they haven't, you know, for many years before that. And because of that dredging that the Corps completed, we've noticed that our fill-in rate is substantially lower than it has been in previous years, where we would fill in 7, sometimes 8 feet, it's been down to 2 or 3 feet. Sometimes down 1 feet in there, 1 foot in there. So, yeah, everything that they do out there certainly helps as far as our dredging costs.
Are there any other additional questions or comments?
Of course.
Commissioner Stevens.
Matt, with what Commissioner Campbell is describing out there, can we afford to hire a hydrologist to look at that and give us a picture of what they think that sort of open gate does against our dredging, and sort of tell us, you know, whether it would be worthwhile to program to build that bulwark down into the bottom a few feet? To keep, you know, we joked once about the mooring basin being self-silting. And if that's really occurring, you know, we should look into the future, the near future, you know, in terms of fiscal years, onto taking a look at that and taking those steps that Campbell's talking about.
Yeah, I think that's certainly possible. And I had actually talked with TerraSond about this thing, about this exact same thing several years ago. But hiring a hydrologist to do a full study of what the hydrodynamics are out there, it is not cheap. We're talking six figures even. So that's it's something we can do. And if we're going to spend the money to put in the pile, that's something that we probably should do before we spend that money, because we don't know how much that's going to cut down or curtail our dredging needs. But it is, it's certainly possible, but it is.
Well, should we look?
I don't even know that you need to do that. And this bridge pier went in here, we started having problems at the port. And the Corps of Engineers conducted a model study in Vicksburg. And we went down there, three of us went from here down. And it showed exactly what was happening. And the current, it had changed the current, slowed the current down over here. It runs down the channel, goes in Young's Bay and comes back around, goes into the slips. Our dredging here at the port quadrupled after that bridge pier was built.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening here. It's just feeding right in here. There used to be a mooring basin for Union Fish right there on the other side of the breakwater. They never dredged that. And they tied boats in there, and after the bridge pier there, they could no longer moor there.
Well, I think some dam removal might help alleviate the problem.
I don't think so.
I'm sorry, Commissioner Kimball, you're saying the bridge what?
A bridge pier.
Okay. Main pier.
Okay.
Well, I'd like to see us look at that, even if it's just to get do the construction without a hydrologist, as long as we don't make the situation worse. If what you're saying is correct, that'd be throwing a lot of money after a problem, and. You know, we ought to consider that come budget time. Thank you for letting me discuss this.
I think We're ready to move a vote to begin the process of negotiation with Bergerson Construction. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you, Matt. And next is the request for expenditure, hashtag 0093, drain repairs for collapsed pipe.
Now, this was actually one of those good timing things. And we wanted to repair some of a small section of some of the drain pipe that's out on Pier 3, the 30-inch drain pipe that we have running north south. We wanted to get some of those, some of the pipe repaired. So when we excavated, we found out that there was a lot more to repair than what we had thought. The corrugated pipe out there was just worn out. It had been in there for decades. So what this is just an emergency repair to basically get about 200 feet handled from the south side of the yard to the junction that's in the middle of the yard on Pier 3. So because it goes over the budget constraints, we wanted to bring it to the commission.
And it hasn't happened yet, so.
What hasn't happened?
The repair?
No.
So
no.
We've got the order in order. That's a nice change, though.
Is this part of the stormwater system that was installed out there? But
this is not part. It's part of the stormwater system, but not part of the new stormwater system. This is the obviously drain pipes that go out are part of the stormwater
the
system,
old one.
But the old ones.
That's why it collapsed. How old do you think it was?
I would say 75 years.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the request for drain repairs for Pier 3 collapsed pipe?
So moved, yeah.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any other additional questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you, Matt. Next, we have the airport.
Commissioners, you have before you a copy of change order one for the Taxiway Alpha Improvement Project. You were briefed on this probably about a month ago. We showed some slides and explained the condition out there. Essentially, the contractor began work executing the contract, and as we progressed, it became apparent that the subgrade, after it was exposed and by excavators and then driven on slightly by traffic, was not going to hold up. So we called in a geotechnical engineer. He looked at it, advised that we over-excavate a foot to a foot and a half, depending on what we observed as we got down in the excavation. And essentially what it turned into was an average of a foot and a half of overdig over the entire area of the taxiway improvement that we were building. Before executing that, we went to the FAA and explained to them, and they agreed with the opinion of the geotechnical engineer. And so we commenced the over-excavation. We, as we got down to grade, we placed the fabric, which was already part of the contract, and began to add 6-inch minus stone, which is big, and as it works together, starts to kind of wiggle into place and locks and spreads the load along with the geotechnical fabric. And we've gotten a very good result out of that. In any event, the cost of doing that ended up being
$239,731.
That is correct. I had a slightly higher number in mind, but this is the final number. That amount will be 90% paid for by the FAA, and the port will be responsible for the rest. So there's going to be about a $27,000 increase in expenditures on this project. There's really no option. Once the demolition had been done and we got into this situation, it cost much, much, much more to go back to the way we were. Really not practical. And in any event, the cost impact of this is probably going to fall into next fiscal year. We progressed as far with the work as we could this year. Got slowed down substantially in September because of rain. And although the weather has been nice here for the last week or so, really wouldn't be conducive for paving in this kind of weather for the results that the FAA wants. And so the money has been expended, and I need basically your sign off on the expenditure.
Okay, is there a motion to approve the change order for AIP 24?
So moved.
For a second?
Second one question.
You know, I'll do the motion in a second, then we move on to questions. Go ahead. Have a question?
Okay. Will, how is this going to affect, where are we going to steal the 25 million from, or 25,000?
So there's a couple items in our budget that I think we're going to have wiggle room on. The one big one is going to be, we had $50,000 budgeted in grant match money for port security grants. We did not receive a grant this fiscal year, and so we do have some budgeted monies there that we could divert to the airport. I did also talk to our boatyard manager about delaying the purchase of an inventory travel lift winch. That's one of those where we have a backup, but our current winch is working and getting replaced, and so we're going to take the old one and put it back into inventory. We could use that for emergency use. And then probably purchase a new travel winch next fiscal year. So that was budgeted at $20,000.
Are there any other questions or comments? Okay, with that, thank you, Gary, for all your hard work and seeing these things through. I went out to the airport, and there was quite a lot of excavation required. So, all those in favor of the change order, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. The next item is standing committee appointments. And rather than just make the appointments myself, I thought I would include everyone else in the fun. And so what I was hoping to do is, you all have your ballots. If anybody would like to say anything regarding any of the applicants, here is your opportunity to. I'm thankful for the people that applied, and with that, I'll open up the floor to anyone who has anything they'd like to say, mostly positive things to say about any of the applicants. It is a big deal for people to give up their time.
Yes.
For our benefit, so I don't want to diminish that. So
I would want to thank the applicants in advance before their appointment to for helping us out there. So thank you.
I am very happy that two of the candidates are carryovers from my original ad hoc committee on finance, John Lansing and Walt Postowitz. This will provide continuity of inquiry into the financial operations of the port.
How do we do the positions? You should stagger them.
Well, we'll have to start and then we'll have to stagger them once we get started.
Okay.
And
So per the bylaws, those are going to be two-year terms. And so at the first finance committee meeting, I think the idea would be to have three members take the two-year term and then two members on an original one-year term, and that way we didn't lose everybody 2 years from now.
This was a group of individuals with knowledge and give us insight, help us move forward, and they'll have a narrow purview, but a very important purview in terms of helping us assess the health of our organization. And so we had six applicants and we have five positions. So we'll wait for the results. While we're waiting for the results, we could discuss the next item, which is a, do we have the results?
Yeah, do you want to announce them?
You could go ahead and announce them, please.
So the five members, citizen members of the Finance Committee will be Cliff Fick, Mindy Landwehr, John Lansing, David Ozer, and Walt Postlewaite.
I'd like to thank everybody for applying and look forward to working with those individuals. And thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
And Walt, you'll notify the successful candidates?
Yeah, we will let them know. And
okay.
Staff will work with them on scheduling the first meeting.
Good. Thank you.
And then our thank you, everyone. I appreciate that. And the next item has to do with the commission meeting in Seaside. This is something that Commissioner McLean has been requesting, and not an inherently bad idea. And so I thought that was something that we could go ahead with for our next regular meeting if our staff is able to coordinate. I was thinking the Seaside Library at 5 o'clock. And if our agenda is a little bit lighter, this will provide people who live in that region an opportunity to come and participate in a port meeting closer to home and also further away from me. So
I have a high threshold of pain.
High threshold, so
yeah,
might have to.
And for those living
next,
in
next time we have one in your district, we're going to call in a fire alarm.
Commissioner Stevens, since you live in Warrington, I would let, and you do attend their meetings regularly, to let them know. I would certainly like to see the elected representatives of Seaside, Gearhart, and Warrington show up. And
I'll take that for action. Thank you.
I guess as a follow-up to Commissioner Campbell's report on Airport Advisory Committee, we haven't had a report from the committee for our agenda. They usually are supposed to report back to us. And what I was thinking about, too, that the chairman of the Airport Advisory Committee, Henry Ballinger, who's mayor of Warrington, came up with many good creative ideas on utilization of the Skipanon property and others. And I would certainly like to hear from him again in his report to move forward. He made those representations as part of the budget preparation last spring, and they were very good ideas, and I'd really like to see them surface, come forward.
Question. Sounds good. So,
question?
Yeah.
If we do this on Seaside on the 3rd,
November 19th. Okay. We have a full agenda already for
yeah,
the 3rd.
I was going to say we have a conflict there.
We had this conversation, so we can have more of a, if we have a lighter agenda on the 19th and then try to emphasize community involvement.
That's the 19th of?
We'll give them
and
November.
November.
And you're suggesting 5 o'clock?
5 o'clock, hopefully at the Seaside Library.
Yeah, just for commission's information, that's where I drop off our agendas and the strategic plan at their library for the public to be able to have access to and review in South County.
Okay, so that doesn't really require any action, but I just wanted to have that as an item of discussion. So,
could we encourage the media to help us get that word out, please?
It was, and I'd encourage Mr. McLean to do your outreach as well. So with that, we'll move on to another item that Commissioner Spence wanted to talk about with the East End Mooring Basin. So this is more of a conversation. I'll let Commissioner Spence
start it. I hate to be Johnny One Note, but that the East Mooring Basin is a diamond in the rough. As you know, it not only is in the enterprise zone, it's in the opportunity zone, which provides for great investment opportunities. And I just want to publicize the fact that we would like to hear proposals on its development. It's, in effect, a raw piece of property, underdeveloped as far as docks go and the potential. And I just want to let the business world know, since part of the Opportunity Zone allows people with excess capital gains money and taxes, and all those millionaires and billionaires sitting out there that want to invest their money in something that has good potential. So that's what I want. I wanted to keep it simple and just get the word out that we're looking for proposals let Disney come in, or like Disney, like that this is a raw product. What would you propose to develop for our benefit? We the port would continue to own the land, the marina itself, but the others would invest it, and it wouldn't be any different than the other properties we own, where we would get a lease payment off of them. But just to receive proposals, and we just see what's out there. We don't have to accept anything, but I just wanted to get the word out and take the candle from underneath the bushel basket, in effect.
This is something I thought a great deal about, and we are a port. Ideally, the port manages port properties. In this particular instance, it's a marina, which is, I think, well within the purview of a port to manage. Contrasting that with Tongue Point in the past, which was not port property, was something that we were leasing. My point is, it's different than that. I was all in favor of private enterprise managing Tongue Point because it didn't really belong to the port. In this particular instance, in conversations that I've had with people, the impressions that I've gotten anecdotally that people are more inclined to prefer, people that I've talked to have the port manage it. And it's my hope that going forward, we can move forward with reopening more and more of the East End Mooring Basin for commercial fishing, recreational fishing, and tourists, three different groups. And conversations that I had with Senator Wyden's field representative, Fritz Graham, he seemed to be, haven't heard back from him, more interested in a project where you have those three different groups benefiting. So, Executive Director, you have comments?
Yeah, so I have a lot of thoughts on this topic. I think in my 5 months I've been in this position, I think I've had more meetings with proposals and ideas regarding the East End Basin than probably anything else at the port. I guess I would go back to something Dirk said earlier, in business, timing is everything. And I know one of the big pushes that I've heard is because of these opportunity zones that we should act quickly on this. And I just think long term, that could be a mistake. As I look down the road, I really think that the East End Mooring Basin is something that, from a public perspective, we would like to keep under public management and not in private hands. In saying that, though, I don't disagree that at some point it may be wise for the port to seek a partnership in some way, and maybe that partnership is you know, mainly aimed at getting some funds and getting some funding. The interesting thing with the Opportunity Zone is that there's different facets to the Opportunity Zone, and the biggest benefit of Opportunity Zones isn't necessarily the rollover in capital gains. It's the additional capital gains once the investment is held that become tax-free. So as an example, if someone were to have $1 million in excess capital gain, if they were to invest that by December 31st of this year and hold that investment for 7 years, they would receive a 15% reduction in the basis of those capital gains. So if somebody were to invest $1 million now, in 2026 they would get a 15% reduction in that amount down to $850,000, and then they would pay capital gains on that $850,000. If they were to wait another 2 years, if they were to hold the investment for 5 years, then that gain, or the reduction they get in capital gains is 10%. So they would pay capital gains on 900,000 versus 850. Currently, the max capital gains bracket is 20%. And so that's not necessarily the effective rate, but if you were to look at that, the savings between the 7-year hold and the 5-year hold would be roughly $20,000. So on $1 million investment, I mean, 20,000 is something, but it's not huge. The bigger benefit is that if that $1 million is invested and held in that investment for over 10 years, any gains on the $1 million would be tax-free if sold before, I think, 2047. And so from a timing perspective, I don't know that the port should act out of urgency right now just to try to get that extra 5% savings for investors. I think if this is a project that makes sense, I think it's going to make sense in a year. It's going to make sense in 2 years. What I would like to see from a timing perspective is our strategic plan to get blessed by the state of Oregon. And at that point, I would like to see what kind of help we can get from Business Oregon to do some work at the East End Basin and have some match money so that if we get into a private-public partnership, we have something to offer. The hard part right now is we don't have a lot to offer down there. We have some dilapidated infrastructure. We have a causeway that needs a ton of investment. We have docks that need to be rebuilt, and we're not sitting on a lot of money. And so I don't want to be in a position 5 to 10 years from now where we're kicking ourselves because we signed off on a long-term agreement with a private partner with little or no upside for the port. And so I guess those are some of my thoughts on this is from a timing perspective, I think we're best right now to wait. And in the short term, we're going to wait on the strategic plan. But from our management team, we're really looking at ways that we can get the causeway reopened to pedestrian access. I think that's important in the short term. And so that's something that we're working on right now. And as soon as we can get that done, I would like to get that done. Because I think that'll be a big step forward, and then start to look at the next steps of how possibly we can rebuild that thing, what we can do with infrastructure out there, and what kind of partnerships would make sense.
And in the past, I think the commercial fishing community has come and shared with us their concerns about wanting to be able to utilize that, and I think with that in mind, I'd like to see us follow the path that the executive director kind of outlined. But Commissioner Campbell, you have?
I kind of agree with that. I had little reservations about the Band-Aid you want to put on for foot traffic. I think it's just going to prolong the agony. And I'm not too sure that you're going to be satisfied with the cost of just making that safe according to the to ODOT. Because what they're going to want is a first-class bridge out there, and that isn't going to happen. We just don't have the money.
Commissioner Stevens?
I think Commissioner Spence has got some good information. He's been talking about, in terms of business, the window is closing, business planning. And we do things that will benefit the fishermen who want to moor back there. But right now, we're doing the opposite of that. They're suffering at the moment, and they're leaving. They're departing, or have departed, the East Mooring Basin. Now, I agree, we can't get involved in things that are going to be sweetheart deals that don't make any money for the port. But our strategic plan is in Salem now, and they said they needed 2 weeks to look it over, and I don't know where the results from that are. It's been down there about three and a half weeks now. I think we need to start striking that iron and find out what they can do for us from Salem. I read in the paper every day it comes out now about the millions of dollars that are being given to institutions and public bodies here in our county, and we're not getting anything. I wouldn't like to see us hesitate when we can't put some energy into at least pursuing, without spending any money, a resolution to this problem. And if it takes commission help, I'd be happy to help. If you need a delegation to go down and lobby Salem, if we need phone calls to our Congress representatives and, you know, Tiffany Mitchell said she'd be glad to help us out. And I think you're right, Commissioner Spence. We need to see what we can move forward, and what we can move forward, we need to move. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner McLean.
I would like to compliment whoever brought up the multi-purpose function of that, the tourism, the fishing, the that was brought up on the Goonies meeting that we had a couple of weeks ago. With Goonies weekend this year coming on June 7th, they were seriously concerned of that pier or that causeway being accessible or not. So if we can get state to cough up some specially designated money, if they want to control the money, that's fine. You know, just feel free to write the checks, you know. And if they want to designate something special for that, I would like to see that causeway open as soon as we can.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree. I think the staff is working as hard as they can to come up with some creative solutions to make that accessible, and then also the strategic plan is in process, so I think a little time, hopefully we'll see some results, and this is probably going to be something we'll keep discussing until we do. So I think we'll just leave it at that. Personnel policies update.
So this is one that, because it's a policy and something ultimately that will come to the commission, I just wanted to inform the commission that the personnel policies are something staff is currently working to revise. The last revision to the personnel policies was done in January of 2016, so it's coming up on 4 years. So there's some specific items within the policy that need to be changed from a legal perspective, like some of our drug and alcohol policies specifically regarding marijuana, whistleblower policies. There's also some items in there. We try to keep what's in our personnel policies as much as we can in line with what's in our ILWU contracts, and so there's a few items that need to be changed there. We're also looking for the non-union staff at a health insurance opt-out option, which is currently offered to the union staff, which from my perspective is sort of a win-win for both. If an employee doesn't want health insurance and has alternative coverage, they can opt out, receive a monthly payment in lieu of health benefits, and obviously save the port some money along the way. And so I just wanted to inform the commission that's something we're working on, and I would expect to have a draft to the commission probably in the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Question, Mr. Chairman. On health insurance, I'm looking through the expenditures, and we write a check for only $40,000 a month to the special district's health fund. For how many employees is that?
Ooh, so I think currently covered by port health insurance is between 20 and 23 employees, I believe, that are covered. So yes, health insurance is expensive.
And we pay 100% of the premium?
We do.
No participation by the employee?
Correct.
$40,000 a month.
Thank you. Our next item is public comment for non-agenda items. This is an opportunity to speak to the commission for 3 minutes regarding port concerns not on the agenda. Those wishing to speak must fill out a public comment form. Do we have any public comment forms? Now we'll move on to executive director comments.
So a few things. Sue Transu recently completed the special district's best practices program, and what this is, it's a number of items that once completed give the port a discount on our general liability insurance. So I'm happy to announce that she was able to get us an 8% discount for the coming year, which equates to about a $15,000 savings. So that's good news, something that we had not participated in, at least in the last few years. Other items, mark your calendars, it's a long time away. Next October 1st and 2nd, Astoria will be hosting the Oregon Public Ports annual meeting. And so they've already rented out space at the Cannery Pier Hotel and the Red Building. And so that's a Thursday and Friday. We will be the host port for that meeting for next year.
That's great.
And then kind of piggyback on earlier discussion about the port move to the Gateway Building, the plan is to move the week of Thanksgiving. That's typically a little bit of a slow week up here anyway. So we thought that was a good time to do the move. So that will be November 25th through 27th. So just to let the commission know that there may be times that we're not reachable and that phones are down, computers are down. And so port employees will at times have limited access to those type things that week. And so it'll be a busy week getting everything moved over, and hopefully we can get it all done before Thanksgiving that Thursday. So.
And a great week to get some exercise. So
yeah, and that's all I had.
I'd like to thank everyone for coming. I really appreciate all the people who applied for the Standing Finance Committee.
Absolutely.
And our next meeting will be November 19th at 5 p.m. in downtown Seaside. So we're really excited to go to Seaside for our next meeting. And
they have a very nice
with that, the meeting's adjourned.
Library.
Can we confirm that room?
Hmm?
Can we confirm the room?
Well, we'll have to.
No, today's the 5th.